everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, each one of us has a circle of influence in our lives. When I say circle of influence, what I mean is that there are people in our lives and places in our lives and a part of this world that are places and people in a part of this world that we have influence over and have influence over us. And it is into those circles that we are called by God to be people of faith, to be people of compassion. It's in those circles that we are accountable to the kind of person that we are and the kind of person that God wants us to be. Now, some of us have circles that are larger than others. Larger isn't necessarily better, but larger may be true. Some of us might have circles that have a greater impact on more people than others. And again, that's not better, but that's just how it is. But regardless of size or regardless of impact, each one of us has one of these circles, or multiple circles perhaps you might want to think about, in which you are called to be a person of influence. And that means that in those places and in those circles, that's where we want to think about how to be according to Jesus. That's where and how we want to think about leveraging the teachings of Jesus so we can be the people Jesus wants us to be. And specifically in these times of our lives that we find ourselves in 2020, that question of how do we be like Jesus is becoming more and more relevant. That question of how do we exercise our influence in the circles in our lives is becoming more and more relevant day by day, it feels like. I don't have to speak to you or remind you of the ways in which the world is not the place that God wants it to be. We have seen evidence of that time and time again in this past week. We only have to look to the events in Kenosha. We only have to look to events in Chicago and elsewhere to see the brokenness, to see the loss of life, to see the destruction of property, to see the fear and the hopelessness that is rampant. And it's into those very places that God wants us to leverage our influence if it's part of our circle of influence. Now, in a global age that we live in, we all have some kind of accountability to one another. If there's anything we've learned over this year, it's that we live in a global village where the impact of one person or one community or one nation has an impact on the rest of the world. It's just how it is. It's how it has been, but we've seen that in real ways. But in many ways, when we look to the largeness of those challenges, we often forget about the circles that we live in our daily lives. And so I want to ask us to consider those circles of influence that we live in and to see how we can influence those so that we can bring Jesus into those circumstances. I do think that the scriptures do have something to teach us about how to be and participate in the larger global community. But right now, I think also we can hear a message about how this looks in our circle of influence. Now, when we think about how to be according to Jesus, we've been talking about that with respect to the teachings that we know as the Beatitudes, that those are some of Jesus' primary teachings on how to be. And last week, we took a look at some of the Beatitudes that show us clearly that there is a need for God in our lives. But we know that there's not just a few Beatitudes, there's many of them. And Jesus would go on in his teaching about how to be, specifically in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus would go on from those first few to continue on to the next couple. And those few that follow are thought of as the help Beatitudes. And the reality of this is they go in a progression. So if the opening Beatitudes are the need Beatitudes that show our need, that show that there's this passive suffering that many of us are going through, that people are going through throughout any age, it then evolves and goes on to then the help Beatitudes, that we are to be actively helping the world become the place that God wants it to be. And in the midst of that, it also then helps us see the way in which the world isn't the way God wants it to be. And what's interesting to me, and I hope helpful to you as well, is the fact that there are so many ways in which the world was broken at the time of Jesus that just seem to be so similar to the way that the world is broken now. And I find it very helpful and very fascinating and sort of, I would say, a God thing that the teachings from 2,000 years ago become relevant in every age of human history. I suppose that means there's some commonalities between the problems that people had then and the problems that we're having today. And so the ways in which that Jesus goes about this is to help us see the ways in which we're to be, specifically the way in which we are to help the people in our lives. Now, to refresh ourselves, these Beatitudes, they start off with a statement of the person, or the group rather, really, that is blessed, and then moves on to the promise of a future blessing about how it's going to be in the kingdom of God when the time comes for God to bring about the new heaven and the new earth. But there's something about this which also then instructs us about how we are to live in this very moment as well. Because what ends up happening is that while there's a promise about the future, God then also wants that future reality to be part of our present reality as well. That's that thing that we say in the Lord's Prayer when we say that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That isn't to say we just want it to be true then in the future, but it's also to say we want it to be true now. And so that glimpse of how we are to help people, or what it means to be the people who Jesus deems as the blessed ones, gives us a sense of the promise that they will receive in the future, but that future gives us a glimpse of how it's supposed to be now as well. And there are three of these help Beatitudes that Jesus teaches that then help us in our pursuit of how to be like Jesus. And they are as follows. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And it's in these three ways that Jesus calls us into helping those in need. So what does Jesus say there? Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now, when we hear that, there's a way in which we can miss the mark on what Jesus was teaching there. Oftentimes, we hear that word mercy, and we substitute in a sense of grace. And we think about forgiveness without regard for consequence, but that's not what mercy is in the scriptures. Mercy in the scriptures is a sense that there are people who are trying to relieve suffering for other people out of a sense of compassion. It's people that are able to see the suffering around the world and say, I have to do something about that, and I have to help end that suffering for someone else. And so what Jesus is saying is, blessed are the people who relieve suffering, for in the future, they will receive relief for their suffering. And if there's going to be relief of suffering in the future, then God wants there to be relief of suffering in the present. And that's the way that Jesus wants us to live, is people who can be ones who see suffering and want to end suffering. And then Jesus goes on to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, again, one of those things, when we read and hear that word, that phrase, blessed are the pure in heart, we have some kind of sense in which we think about purity of thought or purity of will, that we think about people who are holy. And while those things are good, that's not what Jesus is driving after here. Purity of heart, those who are pure in heart, speaks to more about where one's life is centered. Because when we hear that word heart in scripture, it actually is a more comprehensive term. It isn't just about the emotional center of a self. It's actually about the whole self. It's a holistic sense of body, soul, and mind. There's a sense in which the heart was the center of the being of a person. And so what Jesus is driving after here is a sense of those who are centered in God will be able to see God in the future. Now again, that's the sense of those who are blessed are those who are centered in God. And the promise of the future is that they will be able to see God, but then it also means that we want to be able to see God in the present. And so those who can see God in the midst of creation are blessed. What it means is when we see the suffering in the world, we don't just look at it and think God is absent. Rather, we are able to see God in the midst of it. We're able to see the human being that is suffering. We're able to see the circumstances that are crippling to others. We're able to see solutions also as ways forward, because that's what God wants for us. And then there's that last one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will have the kingdom of God. There's a great temptation in there to take that this particular teaching is the one on which we can build a foundation of justice and action and a way of restoration in the world, because the world is not the place that God wants it to be. And this is definitely part of that conversation. That is definitely a place where we can go. But this is also the place where Jesus teaches about the vision that he has for community. Because the sense of the peacemaker there is a sense of the one who is willing to make circles where people belong. It's a sense of the one who wants to bring peace into the world, a sense of shalom. That's the Hebrew word there that speaks to the ways in which God wants there to be wholeness in relationships and wholeness in every direction of community living. Now, that also all must sound, as it does to me, and I hope it sounds like to you, a call to justice and action as well. But there's also a sense in which the people that Jesus was talking to, he was talking to people who did not have great influence over the ways in which larger groups of people treated one another, but rather they were people who were the people in need and people that were moving forward. So they were looking at the peace that they were going to bring about in their community and in their families. And so there's a global sense in which Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. And there's a global sense for sure in which Jesus calls certain individuals and certain communities and teams of people to bring about peace at the systemic and the structural level. But also Jesus is speaking to us in the smaller circles of our lives, into the smaller places, like your family, like your workplace, like our church, like your neighborhood, a town. It's into these places that God wants us also to seek out shalom, to seek out peace, to seek out wholeness. So what is Jesus saying there? Blessed are the people who seek wholeness for the community, for they will have the kingdom of God. The promise is a place, is a redemption in the future where they can experience and continue to experience the gift of God's love. That's a promise that people didn't think was there for them at the time of Jesus. And it's a promise that I think we also think is out of grasp for us. But because of God's grace, we know that that is a promised part of our future. So how to be like Jesus? We want to pursue mercy. We want to end the suffering for people. We want to have lives that are centered on God so that we can see how God is at work in the world. Otherwise, we're going to see an absence, and that is going to be hard. And we want to seek to be peacemakers. We want to bring about wholeness. We want to bring about relational vitality. And we want to bring about the end of suffering from structures that are holding people back as well. Now, these are some big thoughts, and these are some big realities, and these are some things that are very difficult, I think, in this time to get our heads around. So what I want to suggest to you is a couple of questions. My hope is that you will be able to unpack more of what Jesus is teaching in these three Beatitudes. And that if you can unpack more of what Jesus is teaching in these three Beatitudes, then you can be more like Jesus in your everyday life. And so here are the three questions. What do you think I need to understand that I don't understand right now so I can be more compassionate? That's the first question. The second question is, where do you think I've moved away from having God as my center that I need to take a look at? And the third one is, what is the communal or what is that relational brokenness in my circle that needs to be addressed? Now let's unpack those questions for just a minute. That question of what do I need to understand that's so that I can increase my compassion, that's related to being more merciful. Because again, what is biblical mercy? It's people who are relieving suffering because they are compassionate for the situation. One of the ways to build compassion is to build understanding. And if there's something that has been evidenced again this week, is that there is a lot of growth and understanding of complex situations that we need to consider growing in. The complexities of the situation with Jacob Blake, the responses in the community afterwards, the socioeconomic and the community influences that are going into all those things are so deep and so complex. Again, we've seen ways in which those issues have been present in Chicago in the past few weeks as well. Seeking to deepen our understanding of those situations is really important so we can increase our compassion, so we can understand where we are called to be merciful. So if you can have a conversation with someone where you can honestly ask them to help you explore that question, what do you think I need to understand so I can grow in my compassion? That will help you to be more merciful. The second one, a very vulnerable question. Where do you think that I have moved off my center in God that I need to get back on point with? That's a very serious and a very personal question about where you think your center is. If you can ask someone to wrestle that question with you, you might be able to see some ways in which you've lost a sense of God as the guiding force. God isn't going to be angry with you for doing that. God just wants it to get back on track. And if we can keep ourselves centered on God, that means that we will be pure in heart, or purer in heart. And that's, again, what Jesus is saying allows us to see where God is and where God is at work. It allows us to see God being present in all circumstances. And that is important because it reminds us that God has not abandoned us, and no matter what the circumstances are. So if we can find our center in God, we can find our ability to see God at work in all things. And then that last question, what's the communal, or what's the relational brokenness that I can do something about? What's the relationship or communal brokenness that I can do something about in my circle of influence? That question again, that word of being a peacemaker, that applies on a big global stage, but it also applies in the smaller circles of our everyday lives. And so maybe ask yourself, is there a relationship that I need to work on? Is there a brokenness in a community, in my family, in a workplace, or our church that God needs to speak into? And with humility, ask yourself, what is my role in having that happen? In this time, there is a lot of brokenness that we're dealing with. There's brokenness that we don't even see. And by having courageous conversations with people, we can find our way forward to feeling out what the community brokenness is that needs to be healed. I think if we can wrestle with those questions and we can find some tactical answers in our own ways, we can then become more like Jesus wants us to be. We can be more merciful. We can be more pure in heart. And we can be the peacemakers that God wants us to be. So, how to be according to Jesus? Jesus wants us to be merciful, to seek the end of suffering because we have compassion for people who are suffering. Jesus wants us to be pure in heart so that we're centered in who God is and what God wants, so that we can see God at work in the world, so that we have an understanding of the promise of seeing God in the future is not just a promise for then, but a hope for now. And Jesus wants us to be peacemakers, to be circle makers, to be wholeness bringers, so that the communities that we love and the relationships that we live in can be reconciled. It's about knowing with humility that God has called us to do something about the brokenness. God has helped us to see our brokenness and our need, so God can then also help us see the brokenness around us so that we can do our part to help people experience God's peace and God's love. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms. And again, we hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.